All right. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Questionable Behavior Podcast. Please don't forget to follow us on Instagram at @_QBPC. Also, give us 5 stars on iTunes and all apps. We got like 65 star reviews. It's the only 5 star podcast you listen to. So give us more reviews. So we got a special episode out here today. We're in Atlanta, Georgia. We got Alco in a building. We have to come all the way to Atlanta to talk to someone from New York. You see how that shit works?
Oh, man, don't do that. We just working, man. We out here working. That's all it is.
So we were talking about earlier when you first came to Atlanta. You came about seven years ago, you said.
Yeah.
So tell me first of all about that transition. You know, you were working a certain
Very
way
different.
In New York, and how did Atlanta force you to work differently?
I mean, in Atlanta, you just be around so many people that's entrepreneurs, and you be around so many people that's... It's so many people nowadays that's coming to Atlanta from all over the country. So, you know, when you see people grinding, it make you get on your ground. You see people working hard, people coming to Atlanta with nothing, and they trying to make something. And that's the vibe. That's what it is out here. You know, home is home. I love New York. But out here in Atlanta, I learned mad stuff. Can't take nothing away from that. Like, it's definitely a grind. Learn mad stuff. And I still got a lot to go, but it was a transition. At first, it was even kind of hard because, you know, in New York City, you used to having a corner store open all night, or you right. used to seeing
I
all your
had
friends.
I struggle finding a lighter like not too long
right,
ago.
Like you,
I had to go 15 blocks that way to get like one lighter, bro.
Right, but nah, it's like in New York City, it'd be stores open late that you used to, the bodega, the delis, and then, you know, also you used to seeing people outside all night. Out here, it's not like that in certain areas. Like you just, it'd be crickets, you know what I mean? Unless you in a popping area or you in a more urban area where you see a lot of people, but downtowns you're not gonna see a lot. You can't go outside and see your friends and stuff. So it was definitely a transition.
So tell me about like the work behind everything, because when you dropped your single She a Freak in like 2010, you had came to Atlanta close to that time, right? Like just a little
right.
bit after.
Like I was basically like I was still in New York, but my manager was bringing me back and forth. You know what I mean? And we dropped the record, Cheer Freak. I was in different cities, Tennessee, all in the whole Southeast region, North Carolina, South Carolina, Florida, Mississippi, Alabama. We was pushing the record. And after that record, that's when I kind of fully made the transition and decided to come to Atlanta, because it was hard going back and forth. Zeke was flying me back and forth. And after a while, it was like, you know, it's either New York or it's here. We're trying to work with you, but sometimes you got to give something up that you like to get where you need to go. And we know you love home, but you got to transition and figure this out.
So tell me about, like, you know, because early on you were going to every club, you were talking to DJs, you were pushing your music on. So tell me about, like, that collaboration here in Atlanta. Like, when you're talking to DJs and they're playing your record, is it easier than it is in New York? Is it just a different vibe?
It's a different vibe. I mean, Atlanta, it seemed like everybody's out here working. So, and people got to, they, like, New York, we're so, what's the words that I could say? We're so... not cocky, but we got this kind of attitude or this kind of vibe, like he's just not gonna let you do what you think you want to do that easy. In Atlanta, it's the same thing, but the DJs, they definitely work with people out here. They definitely work with people. I mean, you still gotta grind, you still gotta go through it and go through those little bumps in the road. Ain't nothing easy. And you know, just because you know
you think it's easier to just get to the DJ than it is like in New York, for example.
It possibly a little bit. I would think so. But, I mean, in New York, though, I don't really have no problems getting the DJs, though. You know, it's just, I think it depends on the person.
Right.
Depends on the vibe you want and the type of energy you want. If a DJ gonna feel your type of energy, then he gonna let you rock. If he don't feel your energy and he probably, and then he hear the record and he don't like your record, then he not gonna really rock with you. I feel like I always get that vibe, like, I'm determined. I'm determined to get this record played. I'm determined to be right here. So, yeah. You know, I just think it depends on your energy, which determines how a DJ takes you and how he reacts to you and how he rocks with you.
So early on, you were working with Convict Music, and that's kind of what brought you here.
Right. It's crazy how
so,
life is.
So now we were just talking earlier. You linked up with Akon more recently, like a year and a half ago, which is like
right.
six, 7 years later.
I used,
Where I guess early on when you were working with Convict Music, you already thought like, all right, I'm going to work with Akon, especially at that time. Yeah, so I mean, tell me about like how, you know, just things came back around.
Basically, my old manager, he used to work with Akon's brothers doing showcases and doing shows all over the country. So, you know, you just assume if you're working with the brothers, then you're working with Akon. But Akon recently, with my new manager, Laco, he played records for Akon, and Akon liked the particular record, and we end up meeting the next day. But he, you know, sometimes I guess in this game, you could think that your music might get over, but it don't. Sometimes things happen for a reason. And he didn't hear the records then, but he hear the records now. And fast forward, now we working.
Yeah. So you guys got a record that's gonna come out, or
yeah,
tell me about that record, that collab.
That record's coming soon. Me and Akon, I was playing records in the studio, and he was liking the music, and out of nowhere we just start going through beats, and I didn't even realize what was going on when it happened. It happened so fast, and he was picking out beats like, "You like this beat?" I'm like, "Yeah, I like that beat." He said, "All right, I'm gonna let you tell me one time what beat you really like, and I'm like, "What we about to do?" He like, "I'm about to lock down a studio. We working for the night." And we picked out the record. I picked out the beat, and he did the hook in like 3 or 4 minutes.
Just like that.
Just from listening to the music and me kind of explaining to him what my vibe was and what type of time I'm on, and you know, my whole plan of what I was trying to do. You know, he kind of got the words, and he was listening to me, and he listened to my story, and I was just telling him, I'm determined. Like, it's my time now. It's a lot of people ride on this, like, where I'm from. You know what I mean? There's a lot of people that I work with that's dependent on what I'm about to do, and I feel like it's my time. Nothing gonna stop me. And when he heard the music and he was listening to me, he just went in the booth and just really did the hook in like less than 5 minutes.
And then boom, he's got a hook on your song, and you like that must have came to you like quick, like caught you by surprise. Yeah, like,
it caught me by surprise, because I mean I've been in the studio with people that could work fast, but I've never seen nobody. We go through a beat, pick out a beat, he go into the booth, start playing with a chorus, and before you know it, the chorus came out in like 3-4 minutes. I was more shocked. I was shocked. I was.
What kind of pressure did that put on you now to produce?
I was at first I was thinking hard. You know, you want to make sure that you execute. You don't want to be on a record. You want to make sure your verses are correct. You want to make sure everything is good. So it just made me feel like I even was concentrating more than usual. Cause you know, he done worked with all the great artists. When somebody like Akon done worked with the DJ Khaled's and the Lil Wayne's, and he even worked with some of the GOATs like Michael Jackson, yeah. You know? So it's like, he worked with Lady Gaga. He worked with everybody in the game. So on a level of what he's doing, it just made me feel like I need to step up to the plate. I need to make sure I execute the right way.
So with that being said, tell me about the new project that's coming out later this year.
I got a project. It's going to be called Cosign. If you don't know, my name is Al Coe. A-L, first name, last name, C-O-E. But the cosign is going to be C-O-E-S-I-G-N, cosign, as in I'm cosigning myself. You know, I stopped waiting for people. At first, I was waiting for everybody to help me. And when I started cosigning myself and putting my grind and really going out there to different cities and passing out CDs and being at the gas station with CDs and my street team and selling records and pushing records on the radio in different cities and doing interviews, and people started coming towards me when I was performing at parties. Like that's the way I met DJ Holiday. I was performing at a mansion party and he was hosting the party. And from there, it just happened organically where I performed and we started building and we built a friendship, like family. Like, this is my big brother.
So just by you now focusing on yourself, you were able to basically bring this back.
I was able to bring people were attracted to me for me co-signing myself.
So, like, you were pulled out by Convict Music earlier, like 7-8 years ago.
I wouldn't say it was Convict Music. I would say, you know, Akon brother. Of course, you know, they all Convict family because that's Akon's family, but you know, one of his brothers is working with Def Jam. His other brother was working with other big artists, you know, Omar and Boo. They got a lot of things going on.
Right.
So it wasn't like particular, but they were doing certain little showcases here and there that were looking for talent. And that's my old manager. He used to work with them, and he still works with them, but he would bring me out to the showcases for me to practice performing and also just to be around it. And you know, you just being around it.
It's funny how, like, at that time, you felt so close to Akon, but the moment you started focusing on yourself, that came back around to you. And
right.
Now you actually collabing with him and made a song together.
Right.
You know what I mean?
We have a situation where he's basically part of my situation.
Mm.
He's co-signing me. He's co-managing me. You know, and we just working right now. He sees potential in me that I've been seeing from the beginning, and he's working with me.
How would you say, like, from your move from New York to Atlanta, how would you say that affected your sound, your actual music?
I mean, I would say being from New York, I'm lyrical. I'm able to spit bars. I make records just like a New Yorker, but being out here in Atlanta, I start to understand what kind of records that they like and what kind of records that they like in the club. I start to see from being around them which New York artists they like, which sounds they like. So it made me more diverse. It didn't make me want to just make a certain kind of music where I lost out on a certain fan base. Being around certain producers in Atlanta and being around certain people in Atlanta and girls in Atlanta, you start to see, okay, they like this kind of music in New York. They like these kind of records from New York artists. They don't like these kind of records. So it kind of helped me because, you could go off and your verse could be crazy, but that chorus ain't right. Or if it don't got that vibe, only people who might listen to it is people from your block.
Right.
And I ain't want to have that. I'm trying to build a fan base around the world.
Right. So it basically made your music more complete coming out here because you started hearing different sounds,
right,
working with different types of people, like, in regards to, like, music sound.
Definitely.
So tell me, like, in regards to, like, working with a producer like DJ Holiday, or, you know, you've been working with bigger and bigger producers even from coming out here. So tell me, like, what the difference is between, because I'm sure earlier in your career,
at the beginning of my career, I wasn't really working with certain big producers. I would say the biggest producer back then when I first was coming up, there was a producer that I used to work with, Swiss. His name was Neo the Matrix. He produced a lot of hit records and stuff like that. I was working with him, and I had producers in Queens and certain producers that was working with, like, Stack Bundles and just, you know, who they had their own little studio. They was making their own vibe.
So how big of a difference does it make working with, like, a good producer? Like, how does that affect your music, your sound?
I mean, I feel like there's a lot of people that make beats. I don't feel like there's a lot of great producers. Mm. You know, Swizzy's a producer. Kanye's a producer. Like, now I'm starting to work with some great producers, you know, like Ricky Rax. I'm starting to work with some big producers that they really work with you on the record. You know, I feel like that's producing. You know, when you make a beat, that's different. When you make a beat, that's one thing. But when you actually helping the record and you're, like, telling your input, like, yo, maybe you should have do an ad-lib there, or the way you said that word, maybe you could have said it this way. You know, I feel like that's what producing is. And I feel like now I'm starting to see the difference between a person that can make beats and a producer.
Yeah. And how important is it, like, to have that feedback, you know, in the studio?
Nah, it's very important. I don't want yes men around me, because then your music come out sounding, it won't come out sounding at its full potential. Mm. You know, and I feel like now that I'm, like, all these producers that I'm working with all over the country, I feel like now I'm starting to get the vibe, because I'm building that relationship with them where they feel comfortable to talk to me and tell me, like, oh, well, yo, yeah, that verse was hard, but I may would have said this word a little different. Like, I wouldn't have said it the way you said it. I would have ended it short and possibly had an ad-lib coming after it. Yeah. So things like that really matter. Like, when I listen to my music from 7-8 years ago to now, it sounds incredibly better. And, you know, people that knew my records from back then, when they hear me now, they be like, you know, they be talking to me like, yo, man, I remember when you first started rapping, you sound on a whole nother level. And it's like, because I had to perfect my craft, and I'm still trying to get my craft to that level.
Right.
But it also is the producers. Producers are very important.
Mm. So you mentioned that you rapped in front of Snoop Dogg, and that's kind of what motivated you to like push rap even further. So tell me about that interaction.
Around the time when I had that record, She a Freak, we were at a strip club. We were at one of those clubs. I'm not exactly sure. At an event, and Zeke had me working with a DJ out here in Atlanta called DJ Funky. He's big in the strip clubs, like all the strip clubs. He's always DJing. And he had me performing, and Snoop was hosting the event. And Snoop came up to me in the section, was just chopping it up with me. That was a big moment, because that's somebody who I feel like is, you know, he's a legend, and he's just about the top 2-3 West Coast rappers ever. And it's just so crazy, because when I was a kid, my pops used to listen to him. So that was even more crazy. My pops don't really listen to like all rappers like that. He's from the South, but you know, he moved to Harlem when he was like 18. But being from the South, he only listened to South artists, or he was listening to the West Coast artists, or he was listening to Jay a little bit too. But all he used to bump was like Too Short and Snoop. Yeah. So to see Snoop walk up to me and say like, yo, keep going, nephew, like, that record was good. Your energy was good. Keep going, and giving me certain jewels, it made me feel like I'm here for a purpose. And if a legend's telling me to keep going, I got to keep going.
So, your last mixtape, it was kind of like a freestyle mixtape.
Right.
So tell me about the idea of putting out a freestyle mixtape. Why didn't you put fully original things? What was like the thought process behind it?
I just feel like we starting to get away from real rap sometimes. Even though I love making club records, street records, good vibes, mixtapes came originally from you rapping over somebody else's beat. I feel like that's what like 50 was doing back in the days. I look up to 50. 50 is a great artist, you know, and Lil Wayne, they was killing mixtapes. Mm-hmm. So I just felt like I wanted to get back in that vibe, have a little fun, throw on a beat and just go crazy.
Yeah. So what would you say is your personal favorite on that mixtape?
What was my favorite favorite?
Yeah, your favorite track.
I like all of them, but the first record, at the Holiday Told You I'm Next,
mm-hmm.
that one was a vibe. One was a vibe. I was just having
like
fun.
That and Cash Over Everything.
Oh, Cash Over. Wow, how could I forget that one? I didn't forget it, but I had fun on the Holiday Told You I'm Next, but the Cash Over Everything, that record was, that's actually the record that Holiday started working with me off of. When I performed that record at the mansion party, or whatever the case is. And after that, we just was building, and he started playing that record on the radio. And I shot the video. I shot it in Jamaica. Then I shot some of the video in Atlanta. And then I went back home to New York and shot some of the video. That record's hard. A lot of people love that record. Now that I'm thinking about it, I just sometimes forget about certain records. But that record is a favorite of a lot of people. Yeah, appreciate that.
Yeah, I think it's a vibe. Just like you said, you know, that record is a vibe. And then you got the bars too on top of that with the hook. It's a good record, for sure. Now, you mentioned that 2017 was a rough year for you. Like a couple years ago. So tell me what happened. Tell me about some of the roadblocks that you faced in your career altogether.
I mean, I just was, I was going through a lot of financial stuff. I mean, some of my friends was getting locked up. Some of my friends was getting murdered. I just was going through a lot of stuff. Like, I was going through a lot of stuff, and I had to get my way out of there. I had to get myself to another mindset to take it to another level. Because after that year, that's the year that I ended up meeting Akon and all that, and working with Holiday and stuff like that. But the year before, though, I was just going through a lot of stuff. You know, sometimes you get mixed up in the streets and be doing all kind of stuff you don't need to be doing. And you see your friends getting caught up. It kind of wakes you up. And you see one of your friends get 15 years in jail, or you see one of your other friends get murdered. Or, you know, you lose, like, I was just losing a lot of different things. I was losing people around me. You know, this little stuff, getting caught up with the law, just all kind of extra shit, you know what I mean? And I had to bring it back to the music and focus.
So how did, what awakened you so you get out of that, like, slump and, you know, go back into your music?
I mean,
go back into grinding.
I just put myself around new energy, and I told myself.
Let me just reset the camera. Hold up. All right, we're good.
Yeah, I just put myself around new energy. I started being in the studio a lot more because sometimes, you know, as an artist, you want to be in it. Well, not, I can't speak for everybody, but when you're going through real life and shit is fucking up and you out here in the streets doing all kind of shit to make bread and shit going wrong and your friends is getting knocked off or you know, sometimes you're not thinking about rapping. You think about real life. You think about how am I going to pay the rent or getting evicted or, you know what I mean? Like, right. You're thinking about all kind of real life shit. So I just put it all into the music. I put everything into the music. And when I started putting it all to the
music. You took out basically your frustrations. You just put it down and started making.
Everything I was going through, I never used to talk about what I was going through. And in 2016, 15, around a lot of stuff I was going through, when I start talking about it in my records, that's what was grabbing people. Like, I realized, you know what I mean? Like, that record that Akon wanted to start working with me off of, that was a record off of real life. It's a record called Drug Dealer, mm-hmm. or some things that was going on in my life and certain people that was around me and certain kind of stuff I felt like I was doing at that time and I wanted to level up. You know, it was, he could feel the record, you know?
Yeah.
And even like with Holiday and with other big producers, they were hearing it in my music. After a while, I feel like my earlier music, I wasn't talking about nothing, but I was just talking about the cliche stuff, like the girls and the freak records and all. You know what I mean? It was just more like club music, but I didn't have a substance. But when I start going through stuff, when I was going through mad experiences, not to go in on everything I was going through, but when I was going through a lot of rough times, I start putting that into the music and I realized that was what it was attracting people, the realness of what I was going through, telling my story.
Right. So tell me, like, as an artist, like, going through, you've been doing this for a while. So tell me, like, something that you think young artists or you, when you were younger, focused on that doesn't really matter as much. Like, would you say there's something that, like, young artists tend to focus on too much and that later on you realize, like, it doesn't really matter that much, you should focus somewhere else?
Right. I think I used to focus on what everybody else thought. Now I focus on what I think and what I care about. And it's about, am I happy with the record? You know, and that's one thing I would say. Don't make nobody else happy. Make yourself happy.
All right. So now you're concentrating on yourself and you're doing music for yourself.
Right.
If it sounds good to you, it's going to sound good to everybody. Right. That's almost like the plan, how to naturally get audiences. Right. That's what people, because you can't change who you are.
Right.
You know, if you're just putting yourself on records, that's 100% you and 100% authentic.
Right.
So tell everybody, you know, just in closing, first of all, when can we see you back in New York? All right.
I'm going to be back in New York soon. I'm about to be shooting a couple of videos, a couple of records we got to get done. You know, that's home. That's my home. So I got to shoot certain visuals out there. Atlanta's is my second home, but they show me love out here. I gotta show love when they showing love. So get certain stuff done out here. But I will be home soon, probably like in about a month or two. I gotta come home.
Oh, we actually forgot to touch on the movie, your movie debut, and you said the premiere is probably gonna be in Manhattan. Or
yeah, it's I did a movie a couple months back with a director named Frida Sun. He got a movie with the Columbus Short, Snoop from The Wire, DJ Holiday's in the movie, Trey Chaney. There's a couple of big actors in the movie. It's going to be out in theaters soon. I think they about to figure out the release dates, but we shot it. That was a good experience for me. Like, I always wanted to be in movies when I was younger, but the way that kind of came about is crazy. The actual director, I didn't even know he was a director for movies. Mm-hmm. My camera guy at the last minute told me he couldn't come when I had a session with Akon. So my manager, Laco, set it up. He was like, yo, I got this guy. I've been working with him for 20 years, 15 years. He done did videos for a whole bunch of people. He's crazy with it. And I'm like, all right, man, come on. We going to the lab with Akon. I just like to document a lot of stuff. When I'm around any people, I love to document stuff. And he came into the studio and he seen the record that me and Akon did. And he kept like, yo, man, I got this movie I'm about to come out with. You know, I want to, you know, that record you made was crazy. You know, I seen you and Akon just do that right there on the spot. I know you got some stuff.
So me and him linked up, and he wanted to hear some of my music because he wanted to put some music in his in a new movie coming out.
Right, right.
And when he heard a couple of records, he heard a couple of records and was just like, yo, you know, I like these two or three records. I think this fits my movie. So the records made the soundtrack. But the more he heard me talk, I think I got on the phone and I was talking to somebody. I may have been real aggressive. And he was just like, yo, you really like on your New York? Like, yeah. I'm like, I mean, I'm from New York my whole life. Right, I mean, right. I'm down here now, but I grew up in New York my whole life, 20 years, yeah. You know? And he was like, basically like, kind of like he felt like every movie in the South or every movie in Atlanta, they tend to have a New Yorker around. I don't know if he had that in the movie. So, he was just
so
like,
he's like, oh, shit, that's
like,
what we need.
Kind of like, because he already had his script, all the actors, all of that. The script was already done, and he just was just like, I like your vibe, your energy. You know, maybe I can give you an opportunity. And he just told me to say a few lines and see how I act. And he spoke to my management, and we put it together, and I ended up having a few talking scenes in the movie.
Yeah.
So that was that's a blessing.
Out of nowhere, just from the music. Again,
right,
after pushing yourself, boom.
Right.
In the movie.
Nah, that's a fact.
Did you do a little break dance or is
it
a dance?
I'm just me. I'm just me. In the movie, I'm just me. I'm actually just me in the movie.
So easy roll. Easy roll.
Easy. I mean, cause I'm really just
right.
me in the
just
movie.
Being yourself. All right, so tell everybody where they can check out your music, when the new album is launching. Do you have a date yet for us or no?
We don't have a date yet, but it's coming soon. The single's coming soon. Mm-hmm. The single about to come in a month, and after the single heats up, I'm about to start dropping visuals, and it's going to lead into the project. But Cosign, stay tuned. That's about to be hard.
Stay.
It's a movement. It's about to go crazy in the streets. It's what you need. Co-sign yourself when you stay down till you come up. Anything possible when you co-sign yourself. Trust me. It's been a minute, but you're gonna like this new music. New music sounding crazy. That record with me and Akon is about to go crazy. It's a lot of good music on this project coming out. Trust me.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure to follow Alco at Co Styles everywhere, right?
Yeah,
C-O-E Styles.
L-E, Co-Style. You already know.
And stay tuned for that. A track with the Akon and the new single coming
appreciate
out.
Appreciate that, man. Appreciate you having me.
And that's it. Give us 5 stars on all platforms. You already know. On some G shit that's word of my life. Never trust the next man. Your back be all on his knife. I seen it before. Had to charge a lot of shit to the game. These niggas different, but they all think alike. You got to shit on these niggas. How they main bitch acting a thotty. Funny what them bodies do at a party. Sometimes you gotta flex to let them know that shit is correct, boy. You ain't know that ball is my hobby, my nigga, hear what I'm saying. I'm 100, I'm allergic to fake. No industry could ever turn me to lame. I'd rather be a rich nigga living out of the light than a broke-ass nigga with fame. Y'all niggas can have it. All I ever wanted was a gold chain. Gold chain. All I ever wanted was my own lane. Money, power, respect, you can keep the fame. All I know is cash over everything. Everything. All I ever wanted was a gold chain. All I ever wanted was my own lane. Money, power, respect, you can keep the fame. All I know is cash over everything. Ain't too many that can do what I did. Ain't too many from the city of big. How many of y'all ever really do live? I'm talking MIA, get it? Nah, maybe you don't. I don't think you left the block of your crib. I don't even think you know where to start. You don't know your part. You slick frontin', you ain't got no heart. Just that hoodie on late in the park. That wintertime cold, who you know that's taking shots in the dark. This is you putting on for your city. Just that pup talking all about them Benjamins before he was Diddy. When niggas was gritty, that's word to life. When them niggas had beef, they couldn't find you, they come look for the wife. Had to do it, had to show them the thing. Straight menace to society. Why they had to do them like Kane? It's the jealousy, they envy the name. They don't understand the king of the pawn. Hit the same box at the end of the game. All I ever wanted was a gold chain. Gold chain. All I ever wanted was my own lane. Money, power, respect, you can keep the fame. All I know is cash over everything. Everything. All I ever wanted was a gold chain. Gold chain. All I ever wanted was my own lane. Money, power, respect, you can keep the fame. All I know is cash over everything.